Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
No, I don't either.
But
I don't know what I'm missing, what I'm getting.
I got
I'm
to a point
for.
Where I felt like I had enough and I didn't need any more. And then, well, maybe I need that one because I do want to see that. And
then you see the program, right? You got a program on, I think it's Apple TV with Bill Murray that
yes.
I'd like to see.
Yeah, I don't have Apple TV. That's the one I don't have that I wish I did.
I don't either, but I don't think I'm going to get it.
But I don't get rid of any. I keep
What's
adding some, but I don't
get rid of any.
What's
the deal with streaming services? Let's find out as we talk to Rob Pegoraro, I hope I pronounced that correctly, Pegoraro, tech columnist for USA Today. Good morning, Rob. How are you?
Good morning. Very well, thanks.
And just so you know where I'm coming from, when I said the fire stick and no flames, I'm not quite that far off from that being a legitimate comment. How do you even begin as a consumer to sort out all of these different streaming services and try to avoid paying twice for the same content?
Well, the biggest thing to remember is, you know, all these folks putting out all these streaming services and streaming players and whatnot. Number one, they want to be on the winning end of the deal when we're through reinventing what TV is going to look like. Number two, no one actually has time to watch all the stuff anyways. So, you know, in essence, you have to sort of put together your own bundle based on what actually you want to see on TV. Is it the local channels? Mm-hmm. Is it the entertainment stuff, Food Network? News channels, local sports, because right now with cable, you pay a lot of money for a lot of stuff you don't actually want, and then you get the channels you do want, but at least it's one bill and it's one box, and you try not to think about how it goes up a little bit every year, year after year after year. The new universe we have has a lot of advantages, like you're not paying a monthly fee for every box plugged into the TV. The price is the price. It doesn't have all the stuff tacked on in
small
print.
You know, with cable.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, with cable. Yeah, okay. I didn't mean to interrupt you. I just wanted to try to understand. Continue, please.
Yeah. Now, if you're saying it's too complex, yeah, you betcha. What's happened is essentially the industry in slow motion is sort of realizing that the old way of essentially if you're a local TV station, if you're a regional sports network, if you're a channel like whether it's Fox News or Discovery or whatever, you're used to spending other people's money. You get a cable company to put your channel in their bundle. The cable company passes on the cost to the customers. If you, the channel, increases your carriage fee, which for sure happens every year with things like sports networks and local channels, the cable of the satellite operator passes it on to the subscriber. The subscriber hopefully doesn't notice, you know, wash and repeat. The problem is if you keep spending other people's money, other people may notice it eventually. And so what we see instead is this wave and wave of cord cutting. The study I saw come out yesterday, basically, the top 10 or top 20 pay TV operators lost about 1.9 million people in the last quarter. Mm. Comcast alone lost 404,000. So is it a good business model if you lose more than the entire population in New Orleans in a quarter from your video
subscriber base? I would
think not.
I'm guessing no.
I don't think
yeah.
so.
it was rhetorical. Yeah, so, I thought you were actually asking me.
I don't have a finance degree, so maybe it works.
You make it up in volume, right? If you lose enough, I don't
exactly.
think that's the way it works. So let me go back one second. First of all, go into somebody's house with just an antenna. There is a whole world of programming about which I was unaware that's not on cable that you can get just by putting, I guess some of the local stations plus the, you know, here we have channel 4, 4.1, 4.2, 4.3,
yep,
et cetera.
These are all the channels.
Yeah, there's a whole world of programming out there that a lot of people don't know about to begin with, I would think, right?
Right. I am so old that that is, in fact, how I grew up watching TV. We had this big antenna up in the attic in rural New Jersey because cable had not yet come to my part of the state. And that is, in fact, how we watch here at home. We've got a little antenna stuck to the wall. We get most of the local stations with that. And it's nice. You get HGTV for free. Plus, you get these other channels, 4.1, 4.2. You know, the PBS affiliates have three or four different extra channels you can get. And so what you could start to do then, you know, suppose the local channels are important to you. You pay your 30 or 40 bucks for an antenna once, not every month, and you get those channels for free on any TV in your house. Then maybe if you, you know, you're not that into sports, you can get what's called like a skinny bundle. You mentioned, I think Philo was one where it's, I think, 20 bucks a month for 40 channels. Most of the sort of entertainment, nice to watch stuff, but not any of the sports ones because they cost more. The sports channels are sort of the toughest nut to crack because so many of these, you have teams that set up regional sports networks, charge a whole lot of money. You know, some TV company says, we will pick up this RSN. We'll get other companies, other TV operators to carry it. And we'll make it up over time. Well, what if that doesn't work? A whole bunch of these RSNs have gotten dropped from streaming services like YouTube TV and Hulu TV because the people that run them said, there's not enough demand, so why should we increase prices for everyone? So here's what is not quite clear. What happens eventually when the operator of an RSN says, okay, we're not going to make our numbers just selling to cable and satellite. We need to have something that's direct to customer, where if you're really into, you know, in my case, the Washington Nationals, I have no idea when our RSN will have a direct customer offer, but how much should we charge a Nets fan who just wants to watch the games but doesn't want the whole cable bundle? That's Matt that people haven't done yet. We're not there yet.
So let me get to some questions, and you all please feel free. We want to help you as much as we can understand this. The Oakland Art Jeweler Talk and Text Line, 504-260-1870. Text your questions in, and I'll pass them along to our guest. Rob, am I saying that right? Pegoraro?
Yeah, Pegoraro. It's from northern Italy. As long as it's not pronounced peg, and then people sort of pause and not quite sure where to go next.
The pause of uncertainty as to what the rest of the name is. Tech columnist for USA Today. But seriously, text your questions in and we'll try to get them answered. You mentioned Philo before. I have no idea, P-H-I-L-O, what that is. But somebody texted in, streaming question, YouTube TV and Philo overlap.
Yeah, if you're getting YouTube TV, there's a handful of these services that are trying to replicate pretty much the entire cable bundle. Google's YouTube TV, it's 65 bucks a month. Used to be like 40. They've had their own price increases because of things like local channels and regional sports nets. There's AT&T TV, which used to be AT&T TV Now. That company has had a little bit of confusion about their whole media strategy. You have Hulu plus live TV. Fubo TV, as be distinguished from Philo TV, is more of a sports-centric one. And then there's Sling TV, which is a skinnier version of that, in that it doesn't carry local channels, and I think it's now not carrying any regional sports networks. But if you wanted a cable bundle where, give me ESPN, ESPN Plus, the news channels, all the entertainment ones, Sling TV will work, and that will cost a good deal less than YouTube TV or Hulu TV or AT&T TV.
So what am I getting on YouTube TV as opposed to YouTube?
So YouTube TV, you're actually getting the channels you would expect. So it's, you know, it's not quite a traditional grid like on a cable box because it's a better interface than that. But, you know, you get your full lineup. The one thing you have to watch for, like I said before, a lot of regional sports networks aren't on these because they've essentially gotten too greedy. So YouTube TV, 2 years ago, they had a lot of these. Then last year they dropped a bunch, like they dropped Nesson, the one that carries the Boston Red Sox. They dropped the Yankees, so now it's only a handful. So, like, here, if I wanted to watch Nats games on a streaming service, I'd have to get AT&T TV and the $85 plan. But still cheaper than cable, because if I look at what Comcast would charge me for that, they have an entry rate that's $60. I'm like, oh, that's great, awesome. There's a broadcast TV fee you don't see in that advertised number. There's a regional sports network fee you don't see in that advertised number. Oops, I got to get a cable box from them as well. And it's the same thing for Cox where y'all are at. And that's what drives people nuts. You see these rates that look great, but on closer inspection, there's all this other costs you pay. And then, oh, wait, what about year two? What about year three? Mm-hmm. And no one in the cable or satellite universe seems to recognize people don't like doing business like that. Tell me what I'm going to pay. You know, if I'm buying an airline ticket, the price I see before I click buy is actually the whole thing. The price I see when I'm searching for a ticket, you know, it might not include the bag fee, but at least I know I will get on the plane for this. You can't get on the cable bundle for what you actually see advertised.
Well, and to carry the analogy further, you'd like to know where you're going, right? Because
yeah, sometimes that's true.
With the bundle package, you know, let's take a break. We'll pick it up here. We come back. I know my daughter lives in North Louisiana, kind of rural area. That's Dallas Cowboys territory. They wanted to watch a Saints game. So I paid for, I think it was YouTube TV, $60 a month. Do they carry the NFL Network? Do you have any idea how that happened?
So the NFL is redoing their whole distribution arrangement, and that's an interesting one because Amazon is picking up Thursday games. And so that is a step away because traditionally they prided themselves, you know, all of our games are available at least locally over the air. They've had a very traditional approach. And now they're going to have one channel that is not, you know, if you can't get an over-the-air signal for your local game, you're going to have to watch it on Amazon on Thursdays. Baseball isn't there yet. There are other sports. They're in varying stages of adoption. And, you know, I get the sense people should have been thinking about this stuff 5 years ago, but mm-hmm. it's been a distracting couple of years. You know, you can
it has been. And this, man, I'm just looking at this list of networks, and it's in terms of original content. I noticed just because it's original content, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's good content, but it is original. We'll continue the conversation when we come back. 922, trying to help you understand cable and streaming services. Which ones do you actually want? Which ones overlap? If you have any questions or comments, text them into please, the Oakland Heart Jewelers WWL Talk and Text Line, 504-260-1870. Tommy Tucker back in a flash here on WWL. Pegoraro, tech columnist for USA Today, about all the different streaming services out there. What do you need? What programming is good in terms of content? And what about cutting the cord entirely? If you have any questions or comments, 504-260-1870. One of them pops up here, Rob, that says, I have AT&T UVerse, but AT&T also offers DirecTV. Now you're talking about AT&T Television. What the hell's going on?
Yeah, you know, that company, they keep rebranding their service. So UVerse is what they used to call the TV service they provided basically on traditional cable lines. Then they've changed that to AT&T TV. When they bought DirecTV, they launched a new streaming service called DirecTV Now. DirecTV Now, this is like biblical history. DirecTV Now begat AT&T TV Now. AT&T TV Now got merged into AT&T TV. So eventually, they finally settled on one service. So if you sign up for AT&T service now, their broadband, they'll offer to connect you to AT&T TV as well. Because AT&T TV is streaming, you can also use that from any other ISP. So they've actually added some competition. They eventually got to the right point, which is, let's just have a streaming service where you don't need to rent a box or anything. You can get their app and put it on another media player and set it up. So I could use that even though I have Verizon Fios for my bandwidth. And so at some point, you know, they'll finish rebranding and put the right names in everybody's bills. But, yeah, it's a mess.
So if people have AT&T UVerse and I have that, am I going to continue to have that? Or at some point will I be begetted by, whatever it is, to
begotten?
Yes. Will I be begotten to one of the different ones? Will I wind up with AT&T TV or DirecTV?
So DirecTV, no, because that's the satellite service. And that, you know, somebody has to actually put a dish on the roof of your building or the balcony of your apartment or whatever. And that, I should note, so AT&T, having spent tens of billions of dollars to buy DirecTV, is now spinning that out. They're going to own a share in the separate company with a private equity company buying the rest. So if you're an AT&T shareholder, this part of the discussion should be making you cranky because management there has kind of lit a lot of money on fire between that and the whole Warner Media getting spun out to Discovery and another separate company that AT&T will own a share in. But yeah, basically, if if you're on UVerse now, you should be fine. At some point, they might decide to change that up. You probably should see what you'd be paying. The whole way the billing works in this universe of pay TV as we've known it, remember, you see this one rate when you sign up, and then it increases a little bit year after year. And so eventually you might realize, oh, you know, if I get rid of their boxes and switch to this other plan, I will save money. Obviously not so if you're in the middle of a contract.
Mm-hmm. And even at that point, in the days when, way back when, in the 1980s when cable TV first came out, the old timers were saying, they're going to put that damn thing in your house and they're going to keep raising the prices and raising the prices. And guess what they did? They put it in your house and they kept raising the prices and, raising the prices.
So
is that going to happen with streaming as well? I would think so.
Well, there's a risk, yeah. I mean, you have the situation where, you know, if you're a local station, you know, essentially a pay TV operator has to pay to carry the local station, and you can't really opt out of it. And you can get these retransmission fights where the local station vanishes from the service, and each company involved tries to convince the subscriber who has no say in this whatsoever that it's the other guy's fault. And so it depends. With a lot of pay TV channels, the ones that aren't locals and aren't sports, their costs are relatively fixed. They don't go up all that much year after year, not more than the rate of inflation. So, for instance, Sling TV has stayed pretty much in the same basic price bracket, and they've at least added features. But because YouTube TV and Hulu and AT&T TV are trying to play in that, they're in the cable replacement game, their rates have gone up a lot more because they are giving you your local channels. They are giving you the regional sports networks, or at least some of them.
When it comes to content overlap, like, for example, The Office, I guess, I don't know if that's still available on any service other than Paramount Plus. Seinfeld, is that going to go to Paramount Plus only? I know you can still get that on, I think it's Netflix or Hulu. Talk about that, if you will, please, about content overlap and things that we should look out for.
Yeah, everybody wants to have their exclusive libraries. I'm not sure how much, you know, like I feel like I've memorized the dialogue of a large fraction of Seinfeld and The Office already, so I maybe don't need to pay extra to have access to that. And, you know, a lot of the stuff will still be available in syndication. That certainly is the idea behind all the Plus services. And we know it works for Disney Plus, but I hate to break it to the rest of the entertainment industry, but not everybody can be the Disney company. Mm-hmm. So you have Paramount Plus, which used to be CBS All Access, Discovery Plus, which may or may not be merged with Warner Media. It could be called Warner Discovery. You can condense the names to just Warned. Obviously, people think that there's a real appetite for having this vast library of old content. The thing to watch out for is, remember, we will actually be able to leave our homes and have, like, social lives soon. So maybe we won't need to spend all this time in our COVID bunker watching TV.
Say that part again.
We won't need to spend all this time in our COVID pandemic bunker watching TV.
True.
Because, you know, this has been a really good year for home entertainment because we have not had a lot of other options. But, yeah, how many more people will be rushing to sign up for Disney Plus now versus, you know, when it launched last year?
All right, let me take a quick break. We'll pick it up here. We come back. Let's come back with maybe if you're on cable and you want to cut the cord, where would be the offices on Peacock? Somebody texts in here. And like you're saying, I find it interesting, Rob, in terms of content, we just about memorized, as have I, all of the Seinfeld and The Offices anyway. So is that really a major consideration or not? And we'll talk about some of the different programming. I'm a fan of Handmaid's Tale, but that's a Hulu thing. So do I get Hulu just to get that? I'm also a fan of, what is it, Ozark, which is on Netflix, I think. So that's another streaming service.
Yeah, I don't know.
Just for that, it may not be, I don't know. And then Mrs. Maisel's on yet a different one. We're talking
Amazon,
to Rob Pegoraro, tech columnist for USA Today, about streaming services. So when we come back, we'll begin with, if you're on cable and you want to cut the cord and you want a decent lineup of programming, what would be the place to start with streaming services, and how would that work in terms of monthly fees? 9:34, time for traffic now on WWL. 9:40, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Rob Pegoraro, nice enough to give us an hour of his time. He's a tech columnist for USA Today, and we're trying to figure out, when it comes to streaming services, where do you even begin with this and cut the cord with cable? A quick text here. Rob, somebody texted in and said, you can find a lot of free live TV on apps if you buy a new LG or Samsung TV. It'll come with a pre-downloaded app that has pre-cable. Do you know anything about free cable? Do you know anything about that?
So I can keep track with all the stuff that is bundled on a new TV. They call them smart TVs. They want to say connected TVs. Let's not give them too much credit here. Yeah, there's definitely lots of free trials. One thing to keep in mind is, you know, there's no such thing as contracts. They're pretty much unheard of in the streaming universe. So if you want, you know, you can certainly, you know, two-week trials are pretty much standard. I've seen, it's interesting, if you have a credit card that has any of these cash back merchant-specific rewards, like certain American Express or Chase ones, a lot of the new streaming services are really generous, where essentially, I think Peacock had an offer where they would rebate the entire subscription fee for the first 3 months just to sort of try to get you hooked. And so on the one hand, you can sample this stuff at will if you just put a reminder in your calendar, cancel this after the 2 weeks or 3 weeks or whatever. On the other, if you wanted to catch up on a series, binge watch it, you could pay for like a month of Peacock TV or Showtime, whatever, and then cancel it once you're caught up and then sign up again once, you know, the next season is on again.
What's going on with HBO Max and the simultaneous premiere in theaters and on HBO Max? Is that going to continue now that, for the most part, the pandemic is behind us?
So that has been really interesting to watch, because for years people have been saying, you know, do we stick with what's called the release window strategy? That's where, you know, the movie comes up. Somebody once sent me this spreadsheet, this presentation slide of this exact flow chart of how long does the movie have to be in the theaters? When does it get to be on the tiny seat back screen on the plane? When is it on TV? And it was this incredibly baroque flow chart. And the pandemic crunched the release windows to the point where, you know, HBO Max and some other folks, Disney, for instance, decided we'll have stuff day and date. We can't get people in the theaters. We can build them at home. And that's a big experiment. It's going to be interesting to watch, maybe less interesting if you're a shareholder in any movie theater company, because they've kind of gotten crumpled. But yeah, people for years have been saying, you know, look, I got two kids, I got to pay for a babysitter. Going to a movie is not as easy as it used to be. Give me some option to watch it on this perfectly nice screen I have at home. And now we've sort of moved forward to this universe where that is going to be an option. You might still have a window where it's exclusive to theaters, but it's a lot shorter than what it used to be.
And you don't have to worry about some stranger talking to the movie. Instead, the person you're with can talk through it. For somebody who wants to cut the cable but still be able to watch live sports like our beloved Saints and LSU Tigers, what's the best option there, Rob?
So that's where, you know, you do need to actually go to individual sites and see which channels they carry, because it's not all obvious. You know, some RSNs are more widely carried than others. There got to be this real plague of them where I would look at what was on, like, the menu at, I think, Comcast and Verizon Fios, and I think, you know, okay, I went to Georgetown. My wife went to the University of Virginia. Why do we care about the Big Ten Network? I don't want to have to pay for that.
Right.
So, again, I think this is trending towards more of the stuff being available on a standalone basis. But for now, you need to sort of see which streaming services carry those RSNs and then what's your lowest cost. There is a site I'll recommend that in general is helpful for narrowing down your choices, mybundle.tv, where you can plug in, these are the channels I want to watch, and it'll then say, okay, this is your cheapest option. If you can live without one of these channels, this one is going to be that much cheaper.
Mybundle.tv.
Yep.
Right? When it comes to content, and I know this is more of a subjective than an objective question, I notice a lot of original content on Netflix, but I watch it, and then it seems like a lot of crap. That's just, to me, it seems like it's hard to come up with quality programming. Is a lot of it? I mean, there is a need to fill. You have to have original programming, right? And you have to have original content. But is there any way to determine or at least a standard of opinion on what's quality and what's not? Or is it just up to the individual?
You know, my taste is excellent and everyone else's is terrible, but otherwise, yeah, no, it's interesting. Netflix really leaned into that in part because that's one way to make sure people stick around, have something that nobody else has. You know, everyone wants to have their lagniappe and a little something extra. And so Amazon has also gone that way. They've invested a lot of money into developing series and original movies and whatnot. Roku is sort of tiptoeing into that direction because, again, you know, if you have to buy someone else's content, that costs more. That may cost even more the next year. But if you control the production costs, then you at least that's easier to budget for. And if you just saying that's great, you mentioned Handmaid's Tale, that's going to keep people hooked to Hulu for a long time. That's a winning move for them. So then it's, again, you know, how much is that worth to you? Or do you just want to binge watch this particular series on this particular service, then cancel it, then rejoin it, you know, the next season?
You know, and as you say that, I think it was 20 months between season 3 and 4 of Handmaid's Tale, and the new ones are coming out on Wednesday now, the new episodes. But I guess for all of that time, I kept Hulu waiting for the new season to drop, and maybe that's part of the business model, although it's hard to keep track of what's going on.
I think they read you pretty well there.
Huh?
they read you pretty well there.
Yep.
Yeah.
Although, you know, it's hard to keep track of, I keep the service because I'm waiting for the new episodes, and I guess the same thing with Netflix and Ozark.
Yeah, I think for a lot of people, it's what's going to be sort of the background level of consumption. Like Netflix, that's sort of like, it's almost the cost of having a TV these days. Amazon Prime Video, you know, we pay for Amazon Prime to get boxes put on our front porch rapidly. The video is a nice bonus. And then it's sort of what else fills it in. So, like, we have an over-the-air antenna, so that's for our locals.
Wait. When is your comedy special coming on, and what streaming service is that going to be on, Rob? That's what I want to see.
Thank you. I'm here all week.
Yeah, all right. So Amazon, right. But Amazon has the, what is it? I mentioned the show before that I watch on Amazon.
Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
Mrs. Maisel, yeah, yes, exactly.
My wife and I, we love it. We're totally behind on watching it because, yeah, unfortunately, although they keep making more streaming services, they do not make more hours in the day in which to watch them.
Right. But we're still waiting on the season of that, too, I think, right? We got 3 seasons of that, and I keep paying for – well, I'm getting the packages delivered on my doorstep, but not necessarily new Mrs. Maisel delivered to my TV. What about the situation with Hulu getting – do they have a deal with NBC where they get shows that they repeat the next day, or Fox, or what is going on there between the traditional networks?
It's sort of part owned. It's been owned by a bunch of different companies, and then it's sort of moved around. If you like to follow mergers and acquisitions, follow the TV space. You will not be bored. But no, I think that's gone away. You know, Peacock is where a lot of stuff in the whole NBC Universal universe is getting moved over. Although, on the other hand, NBC Sports, like, I guess next year we'll be watching hockey games on TBS or USA, I forget which, because NBC Sports Network will itself be going away. So, you know, even if you stick with your existing cable program, get ready to have a lot of stuff move to different numbers on the program grid.
It is just television and entertainment, but when it comes to the FCC and or regulation of streaming services, cable outlets, broadcast, etc., is regulation keeping up with what's going on?
So streaming, for the most part, it's not really regulated. Like, I was just seeing yesterday that there's a proposal. How do you get the emergency alert system working with streaming TV? You know, the whole emergency broadcast buzz. You know, in general, because, you know, if you're a local station, you're a broadcaster. You're using the public airwaves, so you have certain obligations with that. If you're a cable system, you have a franchise from the local company, from the local county or city that said you have to connect this many people. You're our service provider. If you're an over-the-top service, OTT is an abbreviation you'll see a lot, that's different. You know, you are an entertainment service, and, you know, you're essentially like any other website, and unfortunately that is, you know, by and large not regulated. It's not like traditional TV in that sense. You don't have the carriage requirements that, you know, if you provide a streaming service, you know, you have to, you know, there's no equivalent of public access cable in streaming.
When it comes to the begetting, as you said earlier, which I think is hilarious, like the Bible, this begat that, well, how where are we in the begetting process? Are we likely to see a lot more begetting in terms of streaming services?
I think this year you're going to see, there may be a little more clarity by the end of the year because we're sort of running out of pieces on the board to move around. Mm-hmm. You know, Warner Media and Discovery, that's going to take a while to transact, but that will put a lot of programming under one corporate umbrella. And they need to figure out, does this get added to the existing Discovery Plus service or does it not? How does the math work out? The CEO of Discovery spoke at this investor conference last week. And he said, essentially, we don't care if we lose a viewer on cable because we actually make more from the exact same viewer on Discovery Plus, even if they take the cheaper with ads option, $5 a month. Mm-hmm. And of course, he was saying, but if you're a cable operator, you can't afford to lose us. So, you know, enjoy the pain is what he seemed to be the subtext of his message to pay TV operators.
Rob, I appreciate your time. The one thing I would say is there are always books, which, you know, the pictures are in your head, but that's always an option as well, right?
I will note that because I mentioned our baseball team's regional sports network is only on a really expensive streaming plan, I watch ball games a lot on the radio. It's a pretty great experience.
There you go, and that's why I think we'll always be around because so there's nothing that'll make you feel detached like watching a streaming service, and there's nothing that'll make you feel connected like listening to local radio. Thank you, Rob. I appreciate your time.
You're
welcome. Rob Pecoraro, tech columnist for USA Today, taking a break. Coming back, website he mentioned, mybundle.tv, to find out maybe what channels you want and the best way to go about getting them, etc. Taking a break, coming back, finding out what Newell Norman has coming up with for us today here on WWL.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.